Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Doing the Thing podcast. Phil and I are here as always. How you doing, Phil?
Outstanding today. How about yourself, my friend?
Doing great, doing great. We've been doing a little bit of research on the side between episodes, and we want to talk a little bit about AI. So integration of AI into your daily life, it's becoming more and more than just a technological trend. I think a lot of us are using it as kind of lifestyle enhancements, ways to improve our businesses, and a number of other things. So AI's ability to learn, adapt, and automate has provided a lot of convenience, a lot of efficiency, those time-saving benefits. Think about like your emails, looking at video editing, in some cases, even audio editing. So today we want to talk about some practical tips for integrating it into our everyday routine, some of the pros. I'm going to go over that, and Phil's actually going to go over some of those cons as well. So smart home devices, of course, is one of the pros, right? Makes your home smarter. Who has an Alexa, right? So Alexa and things like that, it can help you with your security. It can help you just with your entertainment and things like that. But what about some of those other things, like some of the more practical things? Not everybody has an Alexa. But what about managing your schedule? Have you integrated that into your calendar, Phil?
I have Microsoft. The Office suite does a pretty good job of creating those kinds of iterative options to the software. And I'll tell you, it's interesting. So I did this little test, and I want to talk about the difference between algorithms and AI. For those of you who maybe haven't researched it or aren't aware, when I started writing, I wrote a just completely crappy book 20 years ago. I used to have to go to the library and get those Dewey Decimal cards and look up where to find a book that had a, something, and then transpose it into notes and then take that home and blah, blah, blah. And then with the advent of the internet, right, you could begin to do searches, which was maybe version one or version 0.5 of AI. The difference in algorithms versus AI, though, is that algorithms have a preset, predefined outcome. So whatever goes in input-wise, output-wise is going to follow that pre-described formula. However, AI has the ability to learn from previous experiences and continue to evolve and grow beyond that. So for an example, I went into ChatGPT before the session this morning, and I'm trying to figure out the ending of my novel. It's book six for me, my second novel. I still don't have any ideas. I'm like, I'm going to try ChatGPT. So I put in this thing that said, there's a hero that's a government agent. There's a villain that's trying to take over the world with AI. Give me an ending. One of the most crappy high school, ninth grade literary responses. If I read it to you, you just kind of chuckle at it. But when I took that and started to say, okay, change this element, refine this, think about this, then it began to evolve into something much more sophisticated and frankly, not bad, not as good as I think I can do, but for a 5-second query and a 5-second response, not too shabby. So
Yeah, that's not too bad, and I actually do it to write like longer emails that require a lot of thought and a lot of details. Sometimes I'll have that ChatGPT make a starting point for me. And going to be a lot of, like you said, there's going to be some editing and some cleaning up to do. But you've got your structure of your email there, and it kind of provides it for you, especially if you're having a kind of like a little bit of writer's block or something, and you can't really get started on it. It can really help with that. Some other things that I've used it for have been for writing a book. I actually wrote a whole book with ChatGPT, and I published it on Amazon, the Amazon site. So KDP site, the Amazon KDP site. So I did, so you could actually search me as an author there. And it's not like this long, really detailed book. It's more of like a karate journal, karate and martial arts journal. So it helped me actually create some of the things, as far as like the formulas for your workouts on there. And it helped me with some of the introduction, and even used it to do some cover art as well. So all of that generated by ChatGPT, you do it through the Amazon KDP program, and then boom, you have a book. I probably only have like five sales on it, but that's not bad for, something written by the computer, and all of a sudden you're an author. It's kind of cheating, but that's the power of it.
It certainly is. What other ways? Because then, I do want to talk about some awareness items, but let's call them threats and actual risks as it relates to
Yes.
AI. But let's focus in on benefits. What other ways beyond like that? And I never thought of this as AI, but I have one of those robot vacuums. That's AI. It learned my room, it adapts its schedule, blah, blah, blah. I have an AI vacuum cleaner. Right. So
That a Roomba?
yeah, it's a real, or no, it's an iRobot, I think.
Oh, that's really cool. I love it. I love it. That's one of it. So another one that I was thinking of was investing. So, I know a lot of crypto investors, like Forex investors and those kinds of guys that actually use AI programs that give them buying signals, buying and selling signals. Some of these are very very good. Some of them give you marginal returns, just a little bit. But I actually had an interview with some guys that wanted to sell a program for Forex investments. The program itself was very expensive. It was very expensive, but it was showing some pretty phenomenal returns. And so if you're a seasoned investor, that's probably a good thing. If you're a new investor and you want to learn and you want to reduce some of your risk, I think that's a good way to do it too.
Yeah, so we're talking finance, investment, we're talking transcription tools. You're in a Zoom meeting and you want to capture everything that's said. You click a button now, and the AI companion will put your transcript together, save you a lot of typing time. Photo editing you can do. Even, and I never thought of this as AI, but when I used to travel for my former role, I'd be in Brazil and I'd speak, falo muito pouquinho de Portuguese, very little Portuguese. But I could take my phone, I could speak into the phone, Microsoft would interpret for me, and then hear what the other person said and interpret. There are just so many ways that this technology is changing our life for the positive. And for those of you who haven't dabbled into it, give it a check. Really give it a check.
It's not bad. It's really cool to be able to do this kind of stuff. So I guess we can go into the cons, because there's just so much that I can do to kind of help you. And I think you kind of get the idea. Brainstorming, investing, editing of video, photo, audio, helping you understand different concepts. Let's go into the cons a little bit. What do you got?
So I'll start with this example. When I was senior VP of the music publishing company, I advocated first to switch to Salesforce.com as a CRM and then to Pardot, which was their marketing automation tool. Each of these were at the time very much algorithm driven. What I mean by that is you put in the set of parameters based on those parameters and its logic, there'd be an outcome from it. You could go in and you could create a marketing funnel, and you could say, hey, if somebody clicks on this website or clicks on this email, opens up a link, then I want you to send something within 2 days, and here's what that message is. If they spend more than a minute on the website because it registers IP addresses, notify me and do the following steps. And you could program all of that logic in. Which was super cool in the day, but now when you think about what AI has the capability to do in that space, for marketing folks, can it interpret buying behaviors? Can it pull big data, consumer data, and predict future behaviors for consumers? Absolutely, it can. So people that are business analysts, there's a little bit of risk for you right now that didn't exist before. It used to be you with your experience interpreting that. Now you can plug in a query and AI is going to come up with that solution for you. Taking it a step further, making that data actionable, AI can now learn how to create marketing messages based on its assumptions of consumer future behavior, including social media participation, email responses, all of the data points that we would aggregate up as individuals and try to read into. AI is learning how to interpret all those things.
Wow.
What I'm leaning to is to say, marketing and advertising professionals, there are some changes coming down the pipeline for your industry for sure.
Oh, definitely.
To your point about the financial markets, right? We used to hire accountants for our companies, and then QuickBooks came out and automated a lot of that, right? But we still go to them for sophisticated tax advice, some other things, investment advice. To your point, AI can now predict those things for you, right? Tell it to watch for certain things, it will, but it will learn what you're looking for. It will adapt its recommendations to the feedback you give it and continue to evolve until it becomes super smart and super refined. So, financial managers, accountants, CPAs, yeah, there's some things coming down the pike. Look at even, and this surprised me, right? So, if you had to guess, Jason, what are the five most at-risk professions due to AI, do you think?
Man, well, you already told me, so I know one is psychology, right? I can't remember the other ones though.
Management consultants.
Management consultants. Why is that?
Because they can interpret metrics, KPIs, budgets, efficiency, improving opportunities. AI can interpret those in a way that only an experienced person used to be able to do. Just think, all the data you plug into AI and give it an instruction, it can interpret for you. So I might come into a business and say, listen, your sales conversions are low. You've got 0.2 response to your outbound cold calls and emails and blah, blah, blah. That to me is below the industry standard. It should be XYZ. AI can not only do that with a couple clicks, but tell you what to change in your sequence, read your messages, and tell you where the points of resonance might be based on consumer data. So management consultants, you got to upskill. You got to think about ways, how can you use AI iterative to your experience and create a multiplier in that equation? Otherwise, these tools are going to start to intrude in your profession. Business analysts, financial managers, accountants, and psychologists, right? So the entire, all the volumes of the DSM, the diagnosis that outlines all the different psychological challenges people might face. In aggregate, that's available online, and AI can learn, interpret signals, hear what you say, look through the DSM, and make recommendations based on past experience with other clients and patients and patient records. Yeah, it's pretty stunning, right? One-fifth of all US workers are at risk due to AI in some level or fashion.
Dang, that's pretty, that could be pretty scary. That could be scary for a lot of folks, I think.
Yeah, even this, you think about Tesla, right? And Tesla came out with the self-driving vehicles, and as long as you had your hand on the wheel, the car could drive itself. Well, you go into San Francisco, and there are self-driven cabbies with no driver in the car all around San Francisco. Cab drivers, Uber drivers, truck drivers, look at the drones that are flying right now. Could that replace the FedEx and, UPS planes in the air? Yeah, probably
Right.
could. Yeah, so maybe if next one of the next sessions we do, we can talk about how, if it's possible to, how to better insulate yourself against AI intruding into your profession and just things to think about and things to do. So from a risk perspective, you know, that's kind of the things I want to share, but I want to touch, and this blew me away, threats. And I want to talk specifically about a certain threat, but Jason, you have a video queued up. And before I talk to this, I want all of you who are listening, please, to just take note of my voice, listen to my inflections, listen to how I say things. I've got a little bit of rasp in my voice. Note that. Note the pauses I take for breaths. Just take a quick register. And then, Jason, why don't you go ahead and play that video?
Got it. All right. Let me know if you can't hear it when I play.
Ever pondered the complexity of a business-to-business buying decision? It's not as simple as one might think. Picture this, a labyrinth filled with twists and turns, each representing an individual or a group with unique needs and
And that's not you.
priorities. Yeah, let's pause. And
Holy cow.
that's absolutely right, Jason. So I'm going to lead into the risk in just a moment. Let me just tell all of you that I met with a client last week who consults for major companies, global companies on AI. And we were talking about the benefits and the risks, right? And he said, well, this voice recognition capability in AI is something everyone should take note of. And he was a real alarmist. He's like, control the recording of your voice. Really think about whether you want to post things on YouTube because your voice can be pulled from that video. And I was like, okay, you're a little bit of a you know, canary in a coal mine without there being a coal mine. I'm like, that's it. Right. So I recorded 30 seconds of my voice. I uploaded it to an AI video producing website and it created that video. I told it, make a video about whatever it was. That one sentence of instruction, told it to use this recording to create an AI version of my voice. That was created by AI.
Incredible. That's
So,
pretty incredible, man.
right?
It sounded spot on. I don't think I could have been able to tell the difference.
So here's what's happening in the marketplace. They call it the grandma grandpa scam right now, but it's expanding well beyond that. And the reason they call it the grandma grandpa scam is grandma or grandpa would get a call from grandson or granddaughter, usually late at night. And the call would be, I need your help. I'm in jail. I've been falsely accused. I need you to send me money so I can post bail and get out. Right. Or, you know, that's one example of many of these different types of scams. And one particular grandma this client was telling me about last week, her granddaughter was sleeping upstairs on the second floor in her house when she got the call. And so she just put the phone on pause and said, let me, you know, give me a second, I'll be right back. She walked upstairs, saw her granddaughter in bed sleeping, and that's how she knew it was a scam. But imagine if her granddaughter was across the country. The voice was so convincing that grandma thought this was her granddaughter. And could have, you know, sent money to scammers, right? That's the risk part of this whole equation. So, just as a quick aside, for you and your family members, it might seem alarmist, but I promise you it's not. Have a code in your family. Don't put it anywhere online, but maybe you say to your family, my code is, I don't know, cat turd. My code is 12567, whatever you make up, right? Tell your family members that. And if you ever get a call that sounds even a little bit suspicious, asking you for something, needing, hey, I need your social security. Can you give me your credit card number? I'm doing this. Whatever it may be that's out of the ordinary, all you have to do is say, love to help you, honey. Tell me the code.
I'm gonna
AI
go.
is not going to know that code.
That's smart. That's super smart. And I love that you're thinking about like the security aspect of it too. Just like with anything, you want to have something that's offline, like you said, even written down on a paper, on a piece of paper, or in a hard drive that's not connected to the internet. You know, have all those kinds of things, especially if you're doing a lot of online transactions, you're doing investments and stuff like that. I think it's a great idea to do something like that.
It is. And, you know, if you're an individual, there's a lot of research you can do online for free to find out more about the scams and risk associated with AI. If you're a business, there is an excellent resource called KnowBe4. It's KnowBe4, I believe. Okay. KnowBe4. And what's interesting about KnowBe4 is it was founded by a notorious hacker who had hacked into government corporate databases for years. Once he was caught and rehabilitated, he now teaches and trains corporations how to be safe from hacking. And that's beginning to include AI's intrusion into corporate and business. There's a scam going around where you get a call from a CEO, and the CEO says, "Hey, we have this contest going on. I need your help. I need you to go buy $5,000 worth of gift cards because we're going to give them out today." And it was a scam, right? But the voice sounded the same. They knew the person's name. All the information was correct, which you can find online in a couple clicks.
Yep.
This stuff is happening all over the place. So it's good to be knowledgeable about the risks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, well, I this is a pretty informative session, man. I'm glad that we did this one. This was good for me. I hope it was good for you, and especially for the audience. I hope you guys got something really good out of this as well. If you have any questions or any comments on this, we're always looking for feedback. And of course, you know, subscribers, you know, we want to keep this thing going. I know we kind of slow on some of our episodes, but I have a feeling that they're going to start ramping up over this summer, over the spring and summer. So, Phil, anything else that you'd like to share with the audience before we get out of here?
No, I think this has been an excellent session, and hopefully all of you listening will learn something. Jason, if you wouldn't mind, when you post this, include a link to that video in case people want to play part of our podcast again and listen again, just to convince themselves that there is potential for a risk out there. That'd be super cool. But no, really, really appreciate diving into this with you. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And for everybody else, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Boom.